The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. How was your weekend? We're back. We're here. We're going to be here until, well, Lance will be here till 10. We'll be here till 11. And then the press box and Josh and then the Blitz and so on all day long. Big, big weekend. What made you most excited this weekend? All right. The Astros sweeping. The Rockets winning game five, a crucial game five. Or the wonderful Zach Cunningham contract?
I would say Rockets winning game five.
Rockets winning game five?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rockets winning. There was very little drama to it.
No, this is really, to me, if you really look at this, there wasn't much drama. The Rockets were going to be the better team. But then when Schroeder got kicked out of the game along with P.J. Tucker, that trade-off was so bad for Oklahoma City that there was almost no doubt in my mind that they were about to get obliterated. And it happened exactly the way.
Even then, though, they had it.
Yeah. I want to say it was like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
But it felt under control. But you know, with the Rockets, you never know with the ups and downs that they have. But there's just barely enough offense for Oklahoma City. Even the wins that they've had, the Rockets have played poorly. James has had bad games. And it took, you know, Herculean efforts from Schroeder a couple of times. It really, if the game goes anything like it's supposed to, the Rockets should win every one of these games.
Yeah.
I mean, Oklahoma City is just not a good matchup for Houston. I know the thought was they'd be dangerous, but the reality is their lineup without Schroeder, taking Schroeder out reminds me of like taking the 2005 Astros and pulling Berkman out of the lineup. And then what you're left with is Biggio and Chris Paul, and then a bunch of Dorts. That's what it was like.
Yeah. No. They're so challenged offensively.
When you have your second best player, at least come into the series, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like, go for 4 points and three rebounds, that can't happen.
When Dort is taking more shots than anybody on the team.
Billy Dunn, he's going to have to figure out a way to get Dort involved where it doesn't just involve him staying out of the three-point line.
Oh,
you can't let that.
It's going exactly the way they
can't
want.
Allow that to happen. Gilgeous-Alexander scores 4 points. I don't know if you can't win a game like that. Forget about when Schroeder gets thrown out. Your second best player can't do that in a game. I mean, he's had some ups and downs in the games they've won. He's played really well. Obviously, the games they lost, he hasn't played well. It's what I guess when you get a second-year player in his second playoff and his first time starting, I guess you see this, but they're dependent on him and Schroeder, and when Schroeder got thrown out of the game, and you add to the fact that he was playing as awful as he was, forget about it. There was no shot for
mm-mm.
them.
You got to get Gilgeous out. Dort is, again, all the threes that just let him. Listen, you don't get a wide open look in the NBA unless they want you to have that, unless that's the design, and you just keep on doing that. They've had Andre Roberson before. I mean, they had he's still on the team, but he doesn't play. But at least every once in a while, Roberson would knock something down.
Yeah.
Every once in a while,
Dort is what it sounds like when the ball
hits
the
rim.
Dort, it's that spot between rim and backboard that only Lou Dort is hitting, where if you catch it perfectly, like the crevice, like whenever you see the frozen screen where you have the little logo that's bouncing around the screen and then everyone waits for it to hit the perfect middle.
Yep.
That's what the Dort shot is between rim and backboard when it hits perfectly and it doesn't carom anywhere. Yeah. It just goes Dort like that. That's Lou Dort.
Yeah.
And like Barkley said, you don't have to shoot just because you're open. You don't have to. There are other NBA players who know they can't shoot who don't shoot that shot.
Well, Russ. I mean, Russ has realized.
Russ, yeah.
Oh, okay. Look at all the under-overs that we had for Russ. Of course, he didn't hit the points. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that was this game. This was the game.
Yeah.
But he only took two threes.
Right.
He didn't.
I put over-under at 2.5.
Yeah. And it was under, which is great. He had
17 and a half
seven
points.
Assists and zero turnovers. which hit the under on the turnovers. That's way great. way under in the turnovers. The ratio was infinity, which is tremendous. He was. Here's the deal: is I mean, and we talk. Well, they played so well defensively in the first quarter.
This is the Rockets deserve a ton of credit for two things. Number one, Dort's not getting open shots by accident. It's by design. Right. They are, from a defensive standpoint, they have bought in. They are playing. I think you're seeing, you know, so much we talk about James Harden and his defense. But the team defense has been good for the Rockets. For the most part, it's been good this series. It really has been. And they've hustled.
Except
they've
at the
hard.
End where they're letting guys walk in with layups. Yeah, and I mean, they've had lapses.
Other than that, and that has been more James on the ball. And that's never going to be good. Like, he's never going to hound guys to the basket and block a shot. That's not who he is. But I tell you what, from a rotation standpoint, from the standpoint of closing out shooters, putting pressure on the ball handler, the Rockets have been plus. They've been a plus team.
And here, look, James, 11 of 15. Eric Gordon, 9 of 17, 0 for 3 from 3. He didn't take 10 threes this game.
He was going to the rack. He was going to the rack.
Everybody was. Early on, I texted you guys. I said, I love how they're driving to the hole. Mm-hmm. Russ was driving to the hole. I mean, everybody was efficient. PJ wasn't on the floor, obviously, that long. The bench really didn't do all that much, but you didn't need them. Look at the pluses. PJ plus 17, Covington plus 36, Russ plus 21, Gordon plus 24, Harden plus 28. That's just, I mean, that first quarter, when they had 12 points, I think they had two free throws at the end to make it 14. Was that the final that they had in the first quarter?
Yeah,
14. Yeah. They had 12 mm-hmm. points until they had that last, I think it was free throws, or they threw something in at the very end. And it was like, oh my gosh. Well, thank you, Dort. I think you just have to thank Dort. Just keep on jacking it, buddy. Just keep on jacking it. And you're right. You can't have Steven Adams and Dort on the floor. You just can't.
It's atrocious. You can't play offense 3-on-5. But credit to the Rockets for the third quarter, because the second quarter got a little sketchy, and the OKC got back in the game. But that third quarter blitz, I think they opened it up with like a 7 or 9-0 run, and it was over after that, because I think they went into the half up by 3. They jumped out to a, I think, 7 or 9-0 run. It was done. I mean, the Thunder had no response after that. We had the nut shot for Schroeder, and then the headbutt by PJ. They both got fined. They're both going to be available for Game 6.
How about, and let's just call it like it is. Chris Paul hurt that team. Because that move, one of the big things that they do in every game is show Chris Paul talking to Schroeder on the bench. They've talked about how Chris Paul is teaching Schroeder how to be a better leader and facilitator on the court, and how Chris Paul, when he's on the court, does the facilitating, even when Schroeder is the lead guard and a ball handler. They've talked about what a mentor he's been. That move, as much as I like the competitor Chris Paul, that nut blast move coming over a screen, you know, Stockton was known for it. It's an old school veteran move to try to get you to set softer picks. That is clearly taught to Dennis Schroeder by Chris Paul. There's no doubt in my mind that Chris Paul, who has gotten into it already in the series, probably said, hey, when they set that hard pick on you, make sure that you let them know you're there, and they won't set that high screen. They won't set quite the hard high screen coming. So Schroeder does that, then has to pretend he knows immediately. Mm-hmm. He knows immediately, and then starts barking at the referee when he gets up. Because he does not want to have to face PJ Tucker, who he knew was there. He hears Tucker right behind him, pretends he doesn't hear him, and then Tucker gives him a little headbutt, and all of a sudden he's like, "Whoa, who's that? What could this possibly be about? Not punching you in the scrotum, right? That's not what this is about." And I watched the local broadcast. So I had a pause in the bedroom, and I went into the living room, into the kitchen. And I watched in real time on the local broadcast. The boys are watching, Matt Bullard and Bill Worrell. And they picked it up right away. They had the video right away. They kept looking at that. They looked at the headbutt, but they also were looking at, oh, here it is. This is what PJ Tucker is upset about. And they keep showing that. And then they show the headbutt. They show up both. Then I go back into the room because I want to see how national covers it. national team.
They didn't even say it.
They didn't even say it until finally, after it was.
Yes. When they're replaying it, Van Gundy finally said, I think he might have something to say
about
it.
Because he saw, because P.J. Tucker was on, you know, he was squatting down. And look, P.J. Tucker's down, squatting down at the end of the bench. I think he might have had a really bad shot there. Yeah.
And then they finally
showed
it.
And they had no video replays until afterwards.
And then they finally showed that look where you see his arm go, oh, that's why he's mad. Okay, thanks.
The whole time
they had no idea.
And so I'm watching that after watching a local where the local picked up on it quick. And I was like, wow, nobody in the production truck wants to see why P.J. Tucker's mad? Hey, go back and see what upset P.J. Tucker. Nobody did that?
Nobody. No, and you knew right away that it was a nut shot. You knew it was a nut shot right away. And PJ got up. He was pissed. And I can't blame him. Now, he did put on an acting job. You got to sell that better on the floor. That's the deal. You got to be a better soccer player if you're going to do that. You've got to sell that on the floor. He hit me in the nuts, kick him out of the game, then get up.
They're not suspended for the next game.
No.
There wasn't a fight. So they're not suspended. They both caught a $25,000 fine, and both will be back. But the Rockets right now lead 3-2. And, you know, they know who they're going to play. I mean, they're going to play the Lakers after the first game by the Portland Trail Blazers. The Lakers woke up, and that's a wrap.
Well, and Anthony Davis woke up, and I was just listening to Kendrick Perkins on the way in. And we'll see. I mean, Rockets got to get through this, obviously. They got one more game. Of course, no team has won a home game, so we'll see whether or not the Rockets are going to be able to win this road game. Mm-hmm. No team has won a home game in this series. This is the first series where neither team has won a home game. So that's where we are right now. And the Rockets have got to get that job done. Do something that no one has done in this series.
And it's tough when you don't. This reminds us very much of the World Series last year with the Astros.
That's right.
Where the home team just couldn't win one. Now we're seeing it again with the Rockets.
No, the road team can't win one. This is all home team has won.
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. All the home teams have won this one. Yeah, it was road team.
It's the exact opposite. Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Good thing they have home court advantage.
Right. No, they don't in this one. They're back.
No, I mean for the series, though.
Right.
Yeah, because that game seven, if it gets to a game seven, probably will based on the trends in this series.
They got it. Run it forward or run it, see Dick run or whatever it is. What is the slogan that they have up there?
For the H or run is one H?
It's still up there. I think it's run something. I think something is
we run.
Run a mission
we
or
run
something.
Game. Oh, yeah. One
run mission.
I forget because the
run
slogans
a mission,
come
it
so,
says, or something.
The hashtags come so hot and heavy. I always like run is one mission.
Right.
No, we've talked about this. It's
sea
one mission.
Chain run.
It's one mission. Then if they win, they can go mission one.
Mission accomplished.
Turn the O-N-E to a W-O-N.
Oh, that's mission one. Yeah.
Good point.
Mission control is what they need.
Listen, if they need to change their website up, then go to SiteJab. Because if you're going to change something from one with an O to one with a W, you're going to need to change that website. And see, the great thing is, my friends over at SiteJab, they do things like this. They do website updates. They do brand new websites. They can do it from scratch. And wouldn't you rather have, you know, wouldn't you like to have your website completely redone so that it reflects today's current, you know, internet space so that you get, you know, your online business, the eyes that are used to seeing these really nice tricked out sites that have been studied so that they maintain the user interface for longer and they can draw you in. This is what you need. You need a site that is built so that it commands your attention. It gives the user the information they need, and then it can turn them into potential customers. That's what the internet site is about. Over 80% of the people who are going to be potential customers will visit the website first to find out more about the company. So if yours is outdated, it's going to say something about your company, and it's going to subconsciously say that you are outdated, your company's outdated. Give SiteJab a call today. Let the 2 decades worth of experience help you in designing and maintaining and really professionalizing your website. 713, I just made that word up, 713-999-4661. That's 713-999-4661. Go check out their website today at SiteJab, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776-718. Let's go. 713-780. What happened this weekend? Oh, maybe the greatest thing wasn't the Astros sweeping the doubleheader. And oh, by the way,
well, they won two, and the last one got canceled because of coronavirus.
Yeah.
A's.
Oh, really?
Had somebody test positive for coronavirus.
Or maybe they just said that because they didn't want to face the Astros again and get their ass handed to
them.
That's
possible.
And only be a game and a half up.
That's possible.
No, it's really possible. Not only possible, I think it's probable.
Do they want to see Kyle Tucker again?
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
No,
they don't.
Oh, wait a minute. Where's Thunder Sticks?
I've been on the Kyle Tucker thing.
What? Oh, my God.
I said I wanted to see him play better. And finally, he's living up to... John's walking over to get... Those are rocket sticks. Do not use rocket sticks.
Kyle Tucker.
Those are for rockets.
Kyle Tucker.
Those are for rockets. Those are Thunder Sticks.
Oh, my God. You can't talk about Kyle Tucker.
I've always been a Tucker guy.
Oh, my God.
I wanted Tucker to play better.
You wanted him down in the first... wanted him shot the first week of the season.
Kyle Tucker's finally living up to what we had hoped.
You wanted him put down like a horse.
I didn't want Kyle Tucker put down. I believed in Kyle Tucker this whole time. I just... You know, some things are called tough love. If you let your children... This is why we have children running around in Portland throwing bricks through Apple computer stores.
Wait, what?
Claiming that this is going to help things. It's because everyone had little baby timeouts, and sometimes Kyle Tucker needed pop-pops. I gave Kyle Tucker a pop-pop. That's all.
You know, people in Portland are actually getting pop-pops, right? Real pop-pops.
Are like, they?
People are rolling into Portland and shooting them.
Oh, no. I see Portland as having, gun violence where you've got two sides pointing guns and shooting it. Oh, no. I've seen the videos where skateboarders roll up and smash people in the face who are walking outside. Portland is literally if chaos and mayhem.
So are you the
anarchy is what you want? So Portland's got it all.
Kyle Tucker is the skateboarder. Are you the guy?
No.
Rolling up in the giant pickup truck with the paintball guns and actual gun shooting people
discipline? I'm Kyle
Which
Tucker's mom. I'm making Austin come in. I'm saying stop throwing bricks through things and saying that anarchy's the way. You know that you have a Zoom class tomorrow.
All I'm just pointing out is...
I'm making Kyle Tucker skate back home, and I'm saying, Kyle, we're not going to deface these buildings, and we're not going to throw bricks through windows, and you're not going to go be part of that. Get in here. You never picked up your shoes like I told you. You know what? No cell phone and no Xbox. They're taken away until me and your father decide when you get them back. And you know what? Huh. You're not too old to spank Kyle Tucker.
Well, you better.
That's what I did earlier.
You better spank him then.
How did Kyle Tucker get to Portland?
That's what
Kyle
I did earlier.
Kyle Tucker is here hitting three-run homers, hitting three-run triples.
Because he was disciplined.
It's just what he does.
Because he was disciplined.
And you want him out of this city.
He was disciplined. Okay. I did send a tweet over the weekend. And all it said was, my apologies, Kyle Tucker. And I had like 25. Mine too. Me too. Did Homer Simpson backing into some home? Somebody did Homer backing into the bushes.
Yep.
A few people.
How about
said
Kyle
they
Tucker?
Needed to.
Is now the word about Kyle Tucker, his first time up, was that he just thought he was going to just hit. He just thought I'm Teddy Ballgame. You know what? I got that moniker. Mm. They were calling him Teddy in spring training. Somebody was calling him Teddy. And he just thought, I'll get up to the big leagues and I'll hit because that's what I do. I do it at Triple A. Now I've done it all my life. I just hit. That's what I do. And that he wasn't the hardest worker when he first came up. I don't know if he's working any harder, or I don't know if it's just this dude who just has natural ability, but he's hitting now. And Kyle Tucker, listen, your foundation now, What? Okay, give me your four foundation of the Houston Astros for the next decade.
For the next decade, how about 5 years?
Okay, give me your foundation. Well, Altuve is still there, although he's still a mess. Altuve would still be there. But I'm not talking about an Altuve. I'm talking about a young foundation. You know where it starts?
Well, you only have two young players.
No, you got Yordan. You got Bregman. Bregman's still a young guy.
Yeah, I guess. I guess Bregman counts. So Yordan, Bregman, and Tucker are your young ones. Those are your three young players.
There's your three young guys. And then I mean,
Correa is still baseball young. He's definitely baseball young.
Yeah, but he's not going to be here.
Well, the Mets didn't go to A-Rod. And you know what? Supposedly what we found out is that A-Rod, his salacious background may have hurt him, meaning, you know, years of steroid abuse and all
wow,
that.
Wow, really?
But then also, I wonder if him talking to Jeff Leno hurt him at all. I don't think it did, probably. But I just for a second, I wondered if any of that had anything, if that played against him at all.
Possibly. Possibly it played against him. I don't know. Or they just didn't come up with the right money or whatever. They didn't have as good.
It might have just come down. I would think it. The Jeff Leno thing, I give it a 10% chance of factoring in at most. But I do wonder if there was any. If anyone said, ooh, we don't like that, I would think it's more just who A-Rod is. Like, A-Rod is...
Is ooh.
Yeah, A-Rod is a ped guy.
Yeah.
They just came off of hiring... So they just hired Beltran and then had to get rid of him before he even managed. Because we know about Beltran. He was single-handedly responsible for creating the trash can problem that everyone tries to act like, you know, was created by Jose Altuve, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd wonder about that. But with A-Rod not there, do you think that helps the Astros' chances? If the Astros even want to be in that game. Like I said, I think Correa is going to be shooting for a $30 million a year contract. Clearly, he's not worth that amount. Unless he were a Texan, then he'd be worth $30
million. Oh my
God. If Bill O'Brien is doing a contract, 100% he's a $30 million guy. Asking, you shall receive. But I don't know what the Astros are going to do with Correa.
It is unbelievable what Zach Cunningham.
Okay, so we're off.
All right, when you brought up Bill O'Brien.
I know.
You brought up. And okay, let me ask you this. You've got Bregman, before we get to that, Bregman, Tucker, and Alvarez. There's your core players going forward. Altuve's already 30 years old.
And keep this in mind. Tucker has had two good weeks. Yordan had a good year and hasn't played this year. And Bregman's Bregman. I mean, Bregman got hurt, but whatever.
Okay, if I gave you a gun to your head going forward, your pitcher that you're going to be able to count on for the next 5 or 6 years, Urquidy or Javier?
I can't go Fromber. I guess Javier.
I'm going to go Urquidy. Because he's big, strong. I'm going Urquidy.
I don't know that Urquidy is even. What's. And so Urquidy is.
Fromber's 26. Urquidy's 25. Javier's 23. And this is just the beginning of Javier, too. I mean, we got to give him a. I mean,
well, let's see
he's
what,
just for the first ever Urquidy time. I mean, we've seen Tucker. We've seen guys. Hell, Charlie Morton just finally came around 6, 7, 8 years into his career. Cole, how much time did it take Cole to get there to become the best pitcher in baseball? I mean, it takes some time, but I like Urquidy's he's big, strong. We haven't seen him, but
he's coming back though.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think you're building around Urquidy on this staff.
I really am. I really am curious about. What happened with Urquidy? Why he was out for so long? I really am. Did he have Corona that bad? Did he even have it? Was there an injury that we didn't know about? Like, you know, I don't know. No one has said anything. But I do know this. Had you lost both games to the A's, to me, you know, today is the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's today. The Astros aren't going to move.
No, they're not moving.
And they're not going to move anybody.
And they're not picking
had
up.
Had they either. Lost
hey,
two
they
games?
Might pick up an arm
oh,
here or there.
That's yeah, it. I mean, they've done that. Nothing's
a Belak or a Taylor or
yeah,
a what? Right.
Nothing's mattered in season.
A,
none of their
a
moves.
Brooks Raley. How's Brooks Raley working out?
No, it's not.
Yeah. I mean, so you, yeah, maybe a move like that. I don't see them. Unless you know that Verlander is coming back for sure. Unless you know that, you just don't waste anything and bring in more. You just don't. 728 ESPN 97.5. I want to tell you about my peeps over at HRP.net. HRP is the way that you get your business back going again. And listen, you've had some unbelievably difficult times business-wise. Everybody has. And if you haven't, God bless. But if you have and you've had unemployment, all your unemployment claims, you had to get you're trying to get your small business loan, you're trying to get your PPP, you're trying to get everything, and you're like, man, this is so much to do. How do I do it? Well, I'll tell you how you do it. You do it with HRP because HRP did all of that. And oh, by the way, you've always got an expert on the phone that you can always call and you can lean on them. And your employees, if they're having any problems getting whatever it is because they're too stupid to, I don't know if any employees here that would be too stupid to realize how to log on to the website, but someone, you can call them and you can ask them and they'll give you that answer. All your employees, they'll do that for. But then that's what happens every single day. So if you're looking for the best payroll and HR company, try ours. I'm telling you. And they're so knowledgeable in all of this stuff. HRP.net, 281-880-6727.
281-880-6525. 281-880-6525
or HRP.net.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 7378-0-3776. 7378-0-3776, if you want to get in here. Is the stream up yet? Still working. We're still working. It's a work in progress, everybody, so we're working on that. We apologize. The stream, Dell had to reset it, and it is still trying to reset, so we will hopefully get that to you soon. In the meantime, I mean... Listen, you guys don't like to talk about golf, but if you didn't see the end of that tournament yesterday, it was fantastic. On 18, Dustin Johnson knocks down about a 20-footer down a hill. It was actually a triple breaker that went in to tie John Rahm. And John Rahm comes back, same hole and further away, like about a 50-footer, knocked it down to win the tournament. So it was fantastic. It is the site. The stream is back, so that's good news. But that is just – it was awesome, awesome. And it's two of the best in the game. Rahm and Dustin Johnson is one now, but Rahm is two or three, one of the two. And we're heading to Eastlake for the Tour Championship and to decide who wins the FedEx Cup. So if you're a golfer, that was great stuff. Now, not big drama because going into this week, here's how this works. How about this? Dustin Johnson starts 10 under. He starts the tournament 10 under.
How does that work?
He's number one in the FedEx Cup standings. So he starts at 10 under. Rahm is second. He starts at 8 under and 6 under, 4 under, and so on. And so the rest of the field's got to catch up. He's got a 2-stroke lead on Rahm. Because those two have played the best this season. Here's why. Is because before, you could win this tournament, the Tour Championship, and not win the FedEx Cup. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, who? It's points. And this tells you, if you win this tournament, starting at 10 under or 8 under or 6 under, whatever the case may be, if you win this tournament, you're the FedEx Cup champion. So you know on the final holes, instead of percentage points and all that crap, it's who wins. It's who wins the FedEx Cup, which is good. That's a good thing. I don't know if giving Dustin Johnson 10 strokes against the field for most of the field is going to be, I don't know how dramatic that's going to be, because he is so good right now. So good. It is unbelievable how good that dude is playing and how bad he was playing before. Just a few weeks ago, he shot eight in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And withdrew from the tournament. And then all of a sudden he came back and has just been unbeatable. So anyway, that's going on. But that was a lot of fun to watch yesterday. Other than that, and how about, I mean, can you believe Chadwick Boseman?
That was unbelievable. For those who missed it, if you did miss it.
How could you have missed that?
Chadwick Boseman, the actor who has played, he was in Black Panther. He was Black Panther.
He was Jackie Robinson?
He was Jackie Robinson. He was Thurgood Marshall. A movie that is criminally underrated, and his performance I thought was, I had to look up to see who it was when I first watched it, and I didn't realize it was Chadwick Boseman, was James Brown. The James Brown movie that he is in, he is phenomenal. He is really, really good in that one. So, yeah, it turns out that he had colon cancer and was diagnosed with it in 2016, stage 3 at that time, and was taking treatments, chemo treatments and surgeries, and never made it out publicly. Mm-mm. The information never made it out. I mean, I'm assuming people inside his inner circle obviously knew. I would assume some other actors knew, but maybe not. I didn't see anything where anyone else, because if they did, no one ever gave that information up. And so there's a video. Did you see the video where people started getting really concerned? It was this April. And there was a video that he was on. I'm trying to recall the nature of the video, what he was talking about. But it was this April, and he looked really thin, really thin. And people were very concerned. And then you didn't hear anything else about it. And then he passed away just three nights ago.
How about ABC playing Black Panther without interruption and a tribute to him? That was neat stuff. John Thompson died too. John Thompson died last night. The longtime Georgetown coach. So that's another. I mean, you talk about trendsetter. John Thompson
probably deserves more conversation than he's going to get today.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that he's 78, and people tend to forget about anybody who's older, but especially in the way the news cycle is now. John Thompson was, in terms of, you know, the movement that's afoot right now with racial equality and things like that, John Thompson was one of the first guys that I recognized that had this standard of black excellence. He was unapologetically making Georgetown, for the most part, a black basketball team that was comprised of guys that he wanted. You had to do things a certain way. He demanded discipline. He was a father figure. He was a disciplinarian. He played an aggressive, in-your-face style of basketball. He was unapologetic. John Thompson, in the heyday of Big East basketball, was one of the titans. I mean, Louis Carnesecca, and who was in Villanova? Carnesecca, Massimino. Raleigh Massimino and John Thompson, and boy, the Big East just had they were considered Boeheim. Titans. Jimmy Boeheim, yeah. They were all there forever. They were all considered titans, and it was must watch basketball. And of course, he beat my Fight Slam Pajama team, John Thompson and Georgetown, when Akeem Olajuwon had his final chance as a junior to win a championship after going to the Final Four. Dream went to 3 straight Final Fours, lost 2 straight championships. The first one we know to NC State, the second one to Georgetown.
What about that Final Four? How good was that?
That Final Four, and that game was, they took, it was supposed to be the matchup of the Titans. It was Dream versus Patrick Ewing,
mm-hmm.
which everyone was talking about. Everyone couldn't wait for Dream versus Ewing. And then they took Dream away with the zone, if I remember correctly. And then Michael Graham, the ball head guy,
who was
I don't think he was a good person in real life. But Michael Michael Graham just ruined the game for the University of Houston Cougars. Graham for Georgetown had a great game. He and Reggie Williams, remember him, the freshman who ended up getting drafted mm-hmm. in the lottery by the Denver Nuggets. They were just too much
Freddie
for
Brown.
Houston. Was he still with that team? Freddie Brown made the mistake against, I think he was out after 82, I believe. Or is that Michael Jackson? There was a Michael Jackson also at Georgetown. I think Freddie Brown may have been gone. I just remember it was Williams was the rookie. I mean, was a freshman. Michael Graham was the guy who really took it to the Cougars. And then, of course, Ewing and Dream kind of neutralized each other in some ways. And then Ricky Winslow was a freshman, and Ricky just couldn't step up and do enough for the Cougs. Either could my man Benny Anders. That was a heartbreaker, too. That one, I won't forget that one. But I'm just saying, John Thompson deserves a little more attention than he's probably going to get. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he will get some attention, a lot of attention. But he was one of the godfathers of Big East basketball, for sure, in the heydays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, and he died last night. So tough, man, you want to talk about tough weekend. We had the Astros walking out on Friday night. For Jackie Robinson. They made it up the next day. Then you had the COVID hit the A's, so they weren't able to play on Sunday.
You skipped over that pretty quick. They walked out on the game.
Yeah.
I did see some people on social media pretty ticked off about it.
Well, here's what my initial thought on it was that, you know, the Astros were off during all of that stuff. Wednesday they didn't play. Thursday they didn't play. So they didn't actually have a chance. And the Astros are really, really, really bad guys. Mm-hmm. And so I think that they had to show some solidarity.
Well, they're not bad guys. They're
no, but the Astros are the most hated team in the history
brand.
Of sports.
Yeah. Well, you can see why.
The Astros are the most hated team in the history of sports.
The Astros took a clean sport like baseball and sullied it with cheating.
Yeah, with cheating. And no, and I think that they had to. They almost had to. And you know what? Listen, don't. If they did it, they made it up the next day. Why would it piss anybody? If this is. Don't tell people how they protest or how they don't protest unless they're breaking laws, okay? Then you say, okay, that's. Now you actually have gone too far. But a silent protest anymore, is it really. Is it really, really, really bother you? Does it bother you that much?
There are people. It doesn't bother me.
How does that? Because, okay, so it bothers you rioting, but it bothers you kneeling, and it bothers you walking out, and it bothers you. Boy, you're really being bothered. You're really being bothered. And listen, if there was something that was so important to you that it would interrupt whatever that you are doing and you want to make a statement about it, mm-hmm. you would make a statement about it. And walking out didn't hurt anybody. It actually just said, hey, we're behind everybody. And we're you know, and the Astros needed, if you want to know the truth, they need some love. They need, because if they had played, well, what did the Astros do during all that? They don't care about nothing. Those Astros don't care about nothing.
I would hope that's not the response. Like, I don't know what's happening in other cities because not everyone has decided they're not going to play. Like, not every team has missed out on the game.
Yeah, they did play. Well, yeah, other teams played that same day.
Yeah, I know. But the Astros didn't have a chance because they hadn't played the 2 days before.
But have the Yankees missed a game or the Red Sox missed a game? So it's not every team has decided.
No, but they don't need that love. The Astros do.
I just hope the Astros.
But the Astros would have caught it. Because they didn't do anything, and they're the worst
Yankees
people already.
I would hope
the Yankees haven't.
Yeah, I would hope the Astros weren't so performative. I would hope something drove them inside other than, hey, can you like us again? I hope that's not the case, but who knows?
Somebody else did it.
You know what?
First.
Hey, listen, Altuve got a couple of hits, so maybe he felt like, hey, I did my
–
can you all stop hating me now?
No.
I don't think everybody hates me anymore, so I think I can hit again.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, maybe it is. I don't know.
He had a little comeback, and then like, oh, look at Jose Altuve, and it kind of faded a little bit. And so hopefully it gets strong. We do have, when we come back, there are a couple of names that are being bandied about for the Astros from a trade rumor standpoint. Not going out, but coming in. So we'll get to those players.
And I've got a question for you two
all right.
on the other side as well.
Bell's right. got a question. We'll get to who the Astros may be targeting. They're both arms. And we'll talk about the Texans' newest signing. Bill O'Brien is a guy that you like a lot. Bill O'Brien said, you know what?
I like Jack Cunningham a lot. We're going to do this for John. Not $58 million worth, but okay.
We're going to do this for John.
All right. Here's the deal. Oh, no, I think Jack Cunningham's a good player.
It's like Pat Bowlen when they won the Super Bowl. We're going to do it for John. We're going to do this contract for John.
That's next. Let's do it for me. 743 ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about Lance Loken and the Loken Group. And, man, oh, man, you want to talk about a guy who just is so, so, so good. And I've recommended it. As a matter of fact, the Keller Williams Platinum, they're number one. They're number one in Texas, number one in the United States, number two in the world. I don't know how they're number two in the world. They should be number one in the world. That's just ridiculous to me. But there's story after story after story. The Francesca, she was starting a new job. She had to move closer to her school. 13 showings, 4 offers on her home. It helped her get over $6,500 over the list price. If you've ever sold your home to get over the list price, then you go, oh, man. You know what? What did I do? Did I sell it for enough? And the answer is yes. Here's why. A lot of times you're like, oh, wow, I sold that too low. That's not the case with Lance Loken. The deal is it's like an auction with Lance Loken. He's got so many buyers. When you have this many people, when you market the way that he does, when you have so many people out there, as soon as a home goes up for Lance Loken, man, there's a ton of people that just want in on it because he has a bigger market than everybody else. It's not that hard. It is business. And, oh, by the way, if you don't want to do all that, he said, I'll give you an immediate cash offer. You can skip the prepping, the showings, the open houses, all of it, and I'll give you an immediate cash offer for your home. They are just the best. It's not even questionable if you're looking to sell or buy. And, oh, by the way, if you need a job, Lance Loken is also looking for that. And, by the way, right now is a great, great, great seller's market. So call 281-861-4624, 281-861-4624, or thelokengroup.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
There's one thing I want to say here tonight. It's only 4 words. This one's for John.
That was Bill O'Brien about Zach Cunningham. This one's for John.
I think Zach Cunningham's a good player. He's a really good player. Is he a $58 million player? Huh?
What were you going to do? You're going to lose him. He probably hung up on Bill O'Brien once during contract negotiations. And then
Bill said,
Bill sees him out on the field. Zach, what's your problem? I still want to talk to you right now. How much do you want? We'll give it to you. Jack, give it to him. And then that's it. Mm-hmm. That's how that goes. He is now the third highest paid inside linebacker in football behind Bobby Wagner, CJ Mosley, and then Zach Cunningham.
Well, you see, he didn't pay him the most. So there you go.
Yep.
Man, they got some expensive players right now.
Yeah,
JJ's going to have to come off the books next year, right?
Or an extension.
Well,
I mean, yeah. I don't know why
why would you assume?
Yeah, well, you chuckle. At what point guys you thought were going to get cut cut?
God.
I'm this being serious.
No, honestly, possibly do it. And you can't do it and keep Deshaun. Stay, all right, then Deshaun got to go.
No.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. No, we're going to have to get rid of Deshaun. Thanks, Lance. Good plan.
What if they keep making these deals and they
good
just
plan.
They
you guys,
deal
yeah, you
themselves
and Bill
out of Deshaun and they don't have enough money? Like, how did we get to this point? Like, we just don't have enough money to pay the whole team. Even if we give the rest of the team league minimum, now we can't even afford Deshaun. You just kept giving extensions.
Wow.
Big Tom's dollar like extensions merciless. To everyone.
Wow. This is a lot of money they're paying out here.
A lot of premium
Of course,
money.
David Johnson's off the books after this year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to save.
Is he? Or does he get an extension?
Ooh. Yeah. No. Depends on how well he plays.
I'm tired of you saying this guy's off the books.
This guy's off the books.
We said that about Whitney Merciless.
Then at some point,
Whitney's off the books.
Didn't you at some point say Zach Fulton would be off the books?
Yeah.
And then he.
Well, but they redid it and they paid him and they
yeah.
spread the money out.
Uh-huh. Yep. You know? Yep. And speaking of David Johnson, my question for you two guys would be that I said, who should feel worse, Jaguar fans or Bears fans? Because in the same draft, both teams passed up on Deshaun and Pat Mahomes, and in their place took Mitch Trubisky and Leonard Fournette, who just got cut. So if you are a Jags fan or a Bears fan, who feels worse?
Okay, so that was 2017.
Correct.
You drafted in 14 was your Bortles draft.
And you didn't draft the quarterback.
And actually, 17 is when you went to the Western Conference Finals. You went to the AFC Championship game with the Bort.
Mm-hmm. And but you didn't know
Bort dog.
But you didn't know that.
I would say Bears.
Bears got to feel worse. Bears got to feel worse. Leonard Fournette at least you helped you get to the
quarterback for sure.
Leonard Fournette helped you get to the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, if you missed it, Leonard Fournette cut within the last 30 minutes.
But Leonard has been a pain in the ass. Leonard has been. You remember he got in a fight on the sidelines. Leonard has not been, has been kind of persona non grata. He did have 1,100 yards rushing last year, something in that neighborhood. He was one of the top five in the league, but he's just not, they clearly didn't want to pay him as much. I mean, they're getting rid of him before they even have to. They could keep him.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty interesting for them to get rid of him now.
Well, and you're letting Doug Marrone run
Doug Marrone clearly... Well, is saying
how long is Doug Marrone going to be there? And you're telling, and he's cleaning house.
Or it's
well, somebody told Maybe Ian Caldwell Rappaport. Did. It told me told Ian Rappaport said Doug is cleaning house. He's cleaning this up.
Well, okay, so it's been a mess in the. So this is what I was told. It's been a mess in that locker room for at least a couple of years. Jalen Ramsey was one of them, and Jalen was the top dog. Yeah. Jalen was
got
a
rid
guy
of Ngakoue. No,
had to get rid of him. So it's. Yeah, it's a it's
Ngakoue gone, Leonard gone. Fournette gone. Yeah, I mean Leonard these are your
no these are guys these who are, have been. So don't forget Dante Fowler fought with Ngakoue on the field after right. practice. Both of them gone. You had Leonard Fournette who was fighting on the sideline of a game gone and really has been an issue for that team. Jalen Ramsey couldn't stop talking. He was a real pain in their ass. He's gone. Yeah, they let things get out of control and they've had to. They've had to clean it up a little bit, and we'll see if it's cleaned up. Marrone is probably not going to be the guy to lead them forward, but it still needed to be done.
Well, how bad did Ngakoue want to get out of there? He took a pay cut with the Vikings.
Well, he took a shot, yeah, and he was taking his shots in the media. This is how dumb he is. He was taking shots at the owner's son. Before the draft, he's shooting at Tony Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony's like, hey, if you want to get, if we understand what you want, you know, your contract extension, this probably isn't the way to do it. Like he said that in public. He had to basically tell him on Twitter, hey, this probably isn't it. This probably isn't what you want
How
to do.
How about he took $12 million instead of his, he could have taken his franchise tag $17.8 million, and he said, no, I'd rather play for the Vikings for $12 million.
Well, I mean, that tells you what he thinks of getting out of there. They say he's a really serious guy. Like he's not a.
Yeah, maybe that locker room wasn't for him.
That
it's cleaned up, maybe he would have been better off, but he couldn't.
I think it's too late. You know, the bridges have been burned with that organization.
Yeah.
But maybe he is going to be, maybe he will flourish. And I tell you, it's a great get for the Vikings.
Yeah.
It's a great get for the Vikings because the Vikings need pressure off the edge.
Oh, by the way, they're here too. Vikings are here in week three.
Is that how the schedule stacks up?
What?
Is that how it stacks up Texans, Chiefs, Ravens, and Vikings?
And the Vikings are fourth. I forget one of the two. The Vikings are in the first four games. I forget which one. But yeah, how about Ngakoue coming back here? I don't want to see that. I thought you said the segment was for me.
No, the signing
was dedicated
the
segment.
No, the
to
Zach
me.
Cunningham signing was for you. That was a Pat Bowlen / Bill O'Brien. This one's for John. It's Texans, Chiefs, Ravens, Texans, Texans, Steelers at the Steelers, and then home to the Vikings. So that's a spiffy four-game
season.
Yeah,
with Ben back for the Steelers and T.J. Watt coming off the end. Man, I fear for Deshaun again.
Well, you have Laramie. You got the highest paid tackle in football. What are you afraid of?
Ooh.
You don't give that kind of money out and live in fear.
Yeah, why are you fearful? Yeah.
Why would you live in fear when you got a $22 million left tackle?
And because he's
and a first round right tackle.
Yeah, because he's
you
getting
supposed
paid
to live in fear.
$22 million.
They should fear you.
Mm. Because he's getting paid $22 million.
I don't feel all that. Why don't I feel all that confident about that?
He got a first-round pick, as Lance mentioned, then a $22 million guy. Also, he won't be targeted anymore by the officials because he got paid. So you have that off.
You think he was targeted because he didn't get paid?
Well, a lack of respect. He was getting paid like the best tackle in football. Now he is, so he won't get targeted for
he's
false starts.
Targeted.
Challenge. Yes.
Yeah, that's why false start. He was the target of false start.
Well, we know you get superstar calls in the NBA. Tunsil will get superstar calls in football now. So even if he moves a smidge early, won't throw the flag. He's a star now.
Mm-hmm.
No more targeting.
Man, look, I'm telling you, Jacob Martin is going to lead this team in sacks this year.
So I was looking at, you know, the Colts are one of the, they're starting to pick up steam as the team to beat in the conference, in the division, rather.
Oh, I think it's the Titans.
Yeah, I was a little surprised to see it, but if you think about it, if Phillip Rivers plays pretty good football.
Yeah, I just worry about him throwing the ball down the field, that's all.
Oh, no, I think it's a big concern, throwing the football down the field. Yeah. But if Phillip Rivers can put together a good year, they've got a lot defensively. Remember, they added DeForest Buckner. They got a bully offensive line, and they've added a second running back in Jonathan Taylor, not to mention another wide receiver in Michael Pittman, which is something they need. Like, they've addressed their needs other than secondary. I think secondary is a potential concern. But I don't consider the Jags a factor. But the other three, I think it's going to be really interesting. And I was looking at some of the odds this weekend because I had to do my predictions for who would win, you know, every division, playoffs and stuff like that. And it was tough. I made Colts one, Titans playoffs, and I didn't put Texans in playoffs. But remember, there's three playoff teams.
Yeah. There's an extra playoff team.
I put the Browns in there.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, they've got players on defense. They've got talent on offense. I just think that maybe this will be the year it comes together.
Not the Steelers.
I'll put them too.
Oh, so that's where the two come from?
And the Titans? I had a hard time. I thought about maybe the Raiders being a surprise team. I think Texans, Raiders. Broncos. You know, I still feel like, yeah, I thought about Broncos, but a lot of times second-year quarterbacks struggle a little bit. Once people have some tape on you, a lot of times they tend to struggle. And I think
you don't have the Patriots in the playoffs?
No.
Disrespectful.
No.
Well, it is a little bad.
I think Cam gets hurt at some point. Oh, I think Cam will be the starter.
Predicting injuries?
I think Cam gets hurt.
Wow.
Well, I know Cam getting hurt is the favorite, but Cam get hurt.
Wow.
Then Stidham. Let's not forget they've got like seven starters who are opting out too. And people seem to forget. I saw the odds.
That's kind of a big deal.
Do you guys not know how many starters have opted out for them in their tank, in their desire to?
Did Bill Belichick opt out? No, thank you. Case closed.
He didn't opt out in Cleveland.
No, either. I haven't seen Bill Belichick make a tackle in years.
No, but that's the thought.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick's still there, so everything's got to be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at Dell.
They got to be good.
Yeah, they got to be, right? Now, Bill Belichick's there. He's got to be good.
I would actually say that Miami team could be a little bit dangerous, but that is, I just don't think they're good enough at quarterback right now. You got to be a certain level.
Josh Allen level?
Yeah, but their defense is pretty damn skippy.
Well,
they got a bully running attack now. They've added Zach Moss. I did make them the division winner. I made Buffalo. Buffalo's the favorite.
Sheep.
You're going to see.
They see? Sheep.
Sheep.
You know what?
Oh, Buffalo. Look, trendy pick.
Go out on a
limb.
He's
Cam Newton. He's the new Cam
Newton.
Go
out on a limb.
Yeah, he's the new Cam Newton.
Who? Josh Allen?
Yeah. From Cam early in his career, their numbers are eerily similar.
Did Cam toss laterals in playoff games to no one?
He wasn't in playoffs.
But early. Josh Allen was. He did that here.
He sucked.
I know, but their numbers are, like I said, they're eerily similar.
Watch yourself.
What? Oh, watch him. Watch. 758 ESPN 97.5. Chastang at home. It is a thing. It's a thing for you, and if you don't want, you know what? Maybe it's just that you're just lazy and you don't feel like going to the dealership. That's fine. Shop online. You know what the Ford, you know what the F-150, the Expedition, but you might want to try the Explorer Sport and get the limited package in it because it is totally, totally sweet. You might want to drive it, or you might want to drive the EcoSport around. The EcoSport is only $199 a month right now. Are you kidding me? And this is a brand new car for $199 a month. Listen, you got a car of the month. They bring something out for you to drive, check out, and talk about. They'll give you they are going to do this for you. They're going to do everything they possibly can. You can go and they'll bring you the car for you to test drive around the city. They let you do the entire deal online where the other ones won't. I swear to God, go try to do an entire deal online because they want to get you in there and add on the dealer ads. And by the time it's all said and done after these other dealerships, you got an added on $3,000 or so. And Chastain Ford says, that's not the way we do business. The way we do business is right. We want you to start your relationship with us perfectly. And they do that every single time. Plus, service is second to none. They will actually pick up your car, service it, sanitize it, and bring it back to you. That's all happening to Chastain Ford. ChastainFord.com. It's on 610 Homestead, not Hempstead. You're looking for that Ford car or truck. They ain't afraid to meet every price in the city, to beat every price in the city at ChastainFord.com.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks because they have three-layer nano silver protection. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPNHouston for 20% off.